Maybe we can read a couple verses. Maybe the sisters can look up these verses from Ecclesiastes 5:15 through 16. And then the brothers can look up this verse in Daniel 8:25. I just have a little bit of burden here, just short. We won't, kind of with this time, this time is fellowship to the college students on the practice of the God-ordained way. Just in case you forget where we're at. And Ecclesiastes 5:15 through 16, that's for the sisters. And then Daniel 8:25. And then maybe we can all, after that, we can all look up Ezra 1:5. So this is a kind of a question we want to answer today. Why are you on your campus? Why did the Lord place you on your college campus? So sisters, go ahead, Ecclesiastes 5, 15 through 16. Read that last part again.
So what is the advantage to him who has labored for the wind?
Okay, what does it mean to labor for the wind? What is wind worth? Nothing. How would you like to labor for the wind? Right? How about if you worked for me, right, and you came to get your wages, and I blew in your face? There you go. Right? Okay. Brothers, go ahead. Daniel 9:25. So this is a prophetic word about Antichrist, right? And the word, what really struck me there in my Bible reading was this word, these two words, complacently secure. And so, saints, we don't want to be those laboring for the wind, and we don't want to be those complacently secure, right? We want to see who we are, when we are, and where we are. Right? So I looked at this word complacent. Listen to this. Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Right? So you're self-satisfied, but you're unaware. Right? This is accompanied by an unawareness that there's some dangers or deficiencies. So this is why I asked this question. Why are we on our college campus? I really appreciated the brothers sharing yesterday. What does John 15:16 say? We were what? First we were. Did we choose him? He chose us. And what did he do? That we would. And that our fruit. Right, so we were chosen, and we were set, right? Who did we choose him? No, he chose us, right? And he set us. Where did he set us? In the vine, right? He set us in himself. Well, he also set you on your campus. But I want to ask this question. Why are you on your campus? Ask yourself this question. Just everyone ask yourself. Why am I on my campus? Let's all do that. Why am I on my campus? Are you on your campus to labor for the wind? Are you there to get a... Here's the question. Are you at your particular campus to get a good education? Somewhat. Is that the only reason you're on your campus?
No.
No. Hopefully the answer is no, but maybe. You know, when you think about it, maybe I am primarily there to get a good education. And then maybe I'll have some time, if I have time, to bear fruit. How about, are you on your campus to be complacently secure? You know, Daniel uses this word a lot. In a time of security. In a time of security. You know? It's like you're just unaware of what's happening. Right? And the brothers have really been pointing out this week. Where are we? Remember the great human image? Are we at the head? Shoulders? Legs? Where are we? The feet? The toes? We're there. There's not much time left. But are you laboring for your security in the future? To be complacently secure? So just consider these things. You know, as we're on our campus, why are you there? Why are you there? So now let's all read Ezra 1:5. And this verse is actually goes with that song. Actually, if you look in that hymn that we just sang at the top, I think it says Ezra 1. But how about we read Ezra 1:5 all together? Right, so, you know, the situation is the children of Israel were in captivity. Jerusalem had been destroyed, the temple was destroyed, but the Lord stirred up their spirits to care for God's interest. So actually this is a reading from the, you know, Brother Ricky encouraged us to do the reading. There's a portion here on our spirit needing to be stirred up from the previous message. I'll just read it to you. Beginning from this point, we need to see that our spirit, what our spirit should do. Ezra 1:1 says that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia. Then verse 5, that's the verse we just read, says that God stirred up the spirit of a remnant of Israelites to go up to build his house in Jerusalem. Our spirit needs to be stirred up for God's interests. Let's all say that. Our spirit needs to be stirred up for God's interests. We should not wait for others to stir up our spirit. Instead, we should stir up our spirit by exercising our spirit. On the one hand, the Lord is the one who stirs our spirit up. But we should not be passive. We ourselves have to cooperate with the Lord to stir up our spirit. So, you know, we're not going to speak very much today. So we're not going to speak the whole time. So, hallelujah. Maybe you're real happy about that. But we're going to involve, actually, we've asked some to come and help us with this message. And actually, we're going to ask them some questions. We're going to kind of put them on the witness stand. And we don't want just their successes. Actually, what we want are some of their struggles, some of their failures. And we do want some. Maybe some things, if they're just complete failures, then it's not much of a pattern. But we want some that are attempting to cooperate with the Lord for his interests. Because he stirred up our spirit for his interests. He hasn't stirred up our spirit just so we can... You know, I appreciated this. The book that Paul pointed out yesterday, The Normal Way of Fruit-Bearing and Shepherding. I encourage you all to read that. It's a short and it's a very good book. One thing in there, you know, our brother points out, he asks this question. He's like, what is the test of whether you are a normal, proper Christian? And he says, actually, there's three tests. And the first one is the church life. So, are you in the church life? You go to the meetings, right? You go to home meetings. You're in the church life. So, you're a third normal. So, here's the other two things he said are a test. Whether you are a normal or proper Christian. The second thing is fruit bearing. Are you bearing fruit? So you have to ask yourself that question. Am I normal? And then the third thing is, are you taking care of some young ones? That was his questions. And he said, actually, if you're missing those two, bearing fruit and shepherding some younger ones, you're only a third normal. So you're abnormal, right? If you're only a third normal, you're abnormal, right? If I was standing up here with a third of my body, that'd be pretty weird, abnormal. It'd be uncomfortable for all of you. So this is just to help us to realize we were chosen, we were set to bear fruit, and that our fruit would remain. But, you know, this is, we're talking about the God-ordained way, so we're talking about practice. And so we want to make these things that we're speaking about this week practical. Something that we can enter into. And we are not setting the bar very high. Actually, sometimes we think about bearing fruit, and I always have this thought. It's like, I need to go out and lead people to the Lord and then shepherd them into the church life. But I'm always, we have this tendency to think as an individual. That's our tendency. I need to do it by myself. But really, those, you know, when you read John 15, there's branches there. There's not a branch bearing fruit. There's branches. Many branches bearing fruit. So the fruit that we're bearing and the ones that we're caring for, we're not doing it by ourselves. Actually, you will never be prevailing. You'll never have much impact doing it by yourself. Actually, we've had brothers and sisters. You know, I'll just give the story. I won't say who the brother was, but he would come to the campus. We'd be sitting there having some appointments, and we'd see him, and he'd wave and go out the door, go preach the gospel, come back, wave, leave the campus. And he got a lot of people to receive the Lord. But we have no idea who those people are. And they are not in the church life. Right? So, I really appreciated this. You know, the purpose for our being on campus, we had a newer person ask us this. Why are we on the campus? They were trying to figure out, what are we doing on the campus? And, you know, I think one of the answers was like building up the body of Christ. Well, that's not wrong, but everybody's there trying to build up the body. Why are you specifically on that campus? And I think this song was really good. It's, you know, stir up, rise up, go up. And then it doesn't just jump to build up. There's one there, it's bring up. Right? We're there collecting materials for the building up of the church. That's why we're on our campus. We're there because there's a fishing pond. And there's a lot of materials there. And there's a lot of good materials. And we're there to collect these materials for the building up of the church. So, one, we really want to emphasize one point today. And the one point, and our brother really emphasizes, like, what do you need to bear fruit, to collect these materials? What you really need is what our brother referred to as a nucleus, right? And how many of you have heard this word, nucleus? Nucleus, right? You've heard it in science. How many have heard it in relation to bearing fruit? Right? Probably a lot of you. But basically, the nucleus is just, it's like a core, right? I think the Miami Heat, they won the basketball thing this year, right? They have a core. They have a really good core that they paid a lot of money for, right? And that's why they won. But the core is just, it's just a group of people that the team is centered around. That's all it is. And so the core doesn't need to be very big. On that team, the core is three, right? But really, you only, to have a core, it starts with one, but it's better if it's two, because nobody wants to do this alone. So really what we want to focus on is this core and what this core does. And really, the main thing we want to emphasize is with this core, a lot of times you're on your campus. How many of you have like what we call a student coordination on your campus? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Don't be afraid. Rise up. Well, a lot of you have a coordination, and this is just a group of people who are, it doesn't mean you're even really burdened, but you have a little bit of burden for your campus. And you're willing, the Lord has stirred up your spirit enough that you're willing to gather together. But what do you do when you gather together? And so one thing we want to really, our gathering together is not to form a committee to plan events. But I think a lot of times that's what we do. We get together and we plan events. But I think the main thing we want to focus on, and we'll focus on that with the groups when they're up here, the primary matter for these groups gathering together is to pray. Amen. Right? Actually, if we just gather together, we've done it. We've done it for a while. We plan a lot of things. But where's our impact? And is what we're doing, is it really prevailing? You know, but when our brother presented these things, it's like, this should be prevailing. And it doesn't take very long to be prevailing. It takes a couple months to do something that would have impact on your campus. So really, this is what we want to touch today.
We'll call up some of your nucleuses in a minute. In the reading, it talks about, there's really 4 points. You don't have to look to it. But one is that the Lord always uses young people to do something new. So we already established that if a bunch of gray hairs go out on the campus, they're not able to do that much for many reasons, not the least of which is that the older you get, you just get stiff, and the Lord can't change you. He can't move with the older ones. So he likes to move with the young ones. So here we are with these fishing ponds on the campuses, and the Lord has shown us that the work should really be not in the hands of even people like Bobby or me, but in the hands of the students. Do you agree with this? Okay. Well, what does that mean? How do the students do that? And that's when it comes to this matter of the nucleus. What we want you to do, we're trying to help you so that when you go back, it's not really so much about being stirred up right now, but when you go back, you will wake up on your campus and you may have this question, what am I supposed to do? You know, in that room with all those happy people, it seems so easy. But now I'm on my campus. What am I supposed to do now to stir up and build up and have the work in my hands? Well, we'd like to encourage you. It's really not that complicated. It's all about the nucleus. And what's even that word nucleus is like a new word. What's a nucleus? And when we first heard this word and read this, we were like, wow. Remember, where's Mark? We were like, we're going to launch our nucleus. When are we going to release the nucleus? Like it's some special thing, the nucleus. Because we weren't that clear. And then this email went out that was like this dramatic email about the gospel and ending the age. And it's good. And it was all about the beginning of the nucleus. But actually, what we found out was really the nucleus is just coming together to pray. That's it. Just coming together to pray. And actually, if you come together and you don't pray, you're a committee or something. You're not a nucleus. You're not that. And so here's two verses that Bobby and I were enjoying. Uh-oh. Anyway, this is related to what the Lord was doing when he was on the earth. In Acts 4:13, this is concerning the disciples, it says that they were recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's Acts 4:13. And then you kind of connect that to Mark 3:14. This is related to the choosing of the disciples. It says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them to preach. So the Lord's work, we know he did so many things, but a lot of his work was just to form this group of people that were with him. Okay, so when we come together on a campus and you don't pray, are you with him? What are you doing? We're not with him. So we're not becoming that nucleus. So we'll have some testimonies in just a second. And just so I don't forget, this last point is actually important too, which is that the student work has to be for the body. So even though the work on your campus can be put in your hands more and more and more and more, There's always a danger that it would become something independent or something that's not for the church or something that you're hiding or, you know, have funny feelings. The way to be rescued from that is to have this view. Everything is for the church. If anything hurts the church or is contrary to the church's burden, we're not for it. And the real rescue to that is just to have a lot of fellowship with the brothers in the church and the other saints in the church about everything that's going on, have a very open spirit, and invite them in. I remember this point is really touching me because when I was in high school, I had kind of a gospel companion, and he and I would pray. This is a good example because we didn't know anything about we knew like four verses between the two of us, but we would come together my senior year, and we would just pray, and then we'd speak. And that year, even though we didn't know anything, and we didn't have any skills, we were somewhat effective. A lot of my friends got saved, about 20 friends, and many of them were baptized. And so there's all this stuff happening in school, and oh, Jesus. And then we'd invite them over to our house at night, and they would be in the living room of me or my friend and all my high school buddies. And we didn't know what to do. So we'd have meetings like, well, let's just call the Lord for half an hour. And we would just call on the Lord, and let's just sing these songs for half an hour. And we'd sing, and then he and I would try to, like, say something. And we just didn't know. And you know what the real shortage was? Is we didn't involve the church at all in what was happening. We were just so, I don't know if we were protective or just dumb, but we didn't involve. I mean, a smart move would have been to take that as soon as it starts to be manifested to the brothers and say, brothers, there's something happening here. We need help. We need help. We need leadership. We need guidance. We need fellowship. We need some perfecting, but we didn't do it. So we probably suffered a great loss because not many of those, you know, we could contain. Okay, how about the Athens, I don't like to call you the Athens nucleus, but just some of the Athens students, can you come up here? And also from Dunloring, Tim, you had some. And what I'd like to hear, where are you? Georgia State. And, just come on up. And grab that microphone, please, and can you grab that one, Stephen, and turn them on? One thing about the nucleus is, it's really just a kind of a time to get together to pray. And we had a student coordination a year ago, 2 years ago, and then just to show that this is something the enemy is always fighting against. He doesn't really care that we would want to do something. But once we actually start to come together to become vitally linked through our prayer, there's always an attack. So we had a student coordination, right? And remember, there was like this whole six-month period where it just stopped. And then people were like, what happened? Do we have student coordination? And we were like, well, what happened to it? Like, which one of you made the decision to cancel it? Right? No one. But we just didn't fight that hard for it. So, Mark, maybe you can share a little bit about, you know, give us like a 4-minute history of our progression through success and failure, and maybe I think we're upward right now. Amen?
Amen. We started meeting, as Phil said, and actually to start meeting as a student group of prayers is not that hard. We realized, Phil mentioned some of us sent out a lengthy email, was full of burden and full of feeling for the gospel on the campus, and we realized there needs to be some continuation on this campus, and we feel like we're debtors, and I'm sure many of you feel like that on your campus as well. I need to be doing something on this campus, not just going to class every day. So we realized we need to come together as students, and so eventually, you know, we sent out an email, which we probably didn't need to spend those hours drafting that email. Actually, it would have been as easy enough if I just said, hey, brothers, let's come together on Monday night at 6 o'clock and start praying. I mean, it's really that easy. You just say, just grab a brother or grab a sister and initiate the time. So I would just encourage you, if you don't have this on your campus, you need to be the initiator. Don't wait for an older brother or an older sister to remember, because the enemy will fight against this time, and he will cause you to forget that you need this because it's so important. And so you need to initiate. Don't worry about how old you are. Just initiate this time. That's the first thing that I would suggest. And then once we did that, we came together, and we were sitting there, and we said, so what do we do now? And as Bobby said, we pray. So what do you pray for? Well, I know we've all gotten a lot of help from this, but I would say the first thing you pray for when you come together is each other. Just pray for each other. Start out very normal, and you say, Sam, how are you doing? How are classes? How's your family? And really, it's really easy to pray and to be brought into prayer for other things once you've been taking care of yourself. And anyway, I know there are some experiences of this that might be more helpful. Is there anyone else has any experiences in this group?
When we come together as a nucleus or whatever you call it, the first thing is not to get it done, to get work done. This is a strong tendency, especially when people are capable or have good ideas. They like to come together and pull out their little schedules and calendars and be like, okay, who's on the website? Who's somewhat charismatic, who can help lead our welcome dinner? Does anyone know how to use Photoshop? And no. We've all done this. But that's not, you know, that's just the world getting it done. And that's nothing like what the Lord was doing with his fishermen. They don't have any ability that really translates into apostleship, right? Not really. But they're with Jesus. I have all kinds of magazine subscriptions that I read all the time about getting it done. Fast Company, Entrepreneur, Wired, Inc., you know, and all these articles about how to be more efficient. That has nothing to do with the God-ordained way. God-ordained way has everything to do with prayer. Okay, so how about one of you share about, you know, prayer versus, you're like the witness on the stand, prayer versus, like, putting prayer before work. Are there any testimonies about that? Or caring for one another before praying for others would be good. Okay.
Amen. Okay. Yeah, I really enjoy getting prayed for before we prayed for others. Sometimes I would feel like, you know, oh, I can't go to this student coordination because I don't have someone to pray for, you know? But my husband now, he would tell me, like, well, Joy, you know, what are you burdened for? And at the time, I was burdened for my mom, you know, to get healed. She was very sick. And I was like, but, you know, I can't say that. You know, we're praying for fruit on campus, you know? But he was like, no, you know, you need to go tell them. This is your burden. This is what's on your heart. And so I went to student coordination. This is just one experience. And we just started out by, you know, asking, like, how are you doing, you know? And what are your burdens? And we just prayed for my mom. And it's just, you know, I just felt like that time was just, it wasn't like so, I don't know, like Phil was saying, like, wasn't so like, get this done, you know, it was more care for each other. And then also, like, you know, after we prayed for my mom, I felt more released and then felt less exposed that I didn't have any ones to pray for. So then, you know, Samuel gives like 10 people to pray for. And then that's, you know, then that's like where when we all pray for his 10 people to pray for, we're all bearing that fruit, you know? It's not just that one person. So I guess my experience is just when we come together, we need to care for each other and pray for each other's burdens. And then as we're praying for each other's burdens, I mean, it can be a personal situation. You know, just open yourself to the saints. That builds you up, and then you're released to pray for the fruit. So that's my experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I really felt like this our student coordination was really good. And it's really easy to get into a mode of just having names and having a lot of appointments, like during the weeks, and just having all these names and then just trying to play by yourself. And that doesn't really work. But if you have a student coordination, you can bring all these names to all the students. And just, we don't even spend that much time, because we have like 20 names. And all we do is just call, like, Josh. Oh, Lord Jesus, Josh. And then we go to Matthew. Oh, Lord Jesus, Matthew. So that was really special, just to have all the students playing for this one guy. So it wouldn't just be someone trying to play by himself. So definitely.
Amen. Well, we have a, it's Kalia and Drew and I, and we have a unique situation in that we previously had a team, six of whom I think are in the room. So they, I think we have a lot of experience to pass on in the way of, I think we've officially done everything wrong that you can do wrong. We've prayed too much, we've worked too much, we've prayed too much and done too little, we've worked too much and prayed too little, and we just know what not to do. No, we don't have any full-timers here on our campus presently. But it's really been, I just kind of want to echo this burden about prayer. I'm reminded of Daniel. It's not like Daniel and his companions had, you know, a full-time campus team laboring with them. But there were three of them, including Daniel. And they just had a burden, and they just began to pray. And we're not all that successful, and the campus teams in our various areas know. I mean, we're not that good. We don't really know too much what we're doing. But we're faithful to pray, and I really feel the Lord blesses that. And we try to focus less on work and more on prayer, and we're learning. But anyway, this matter about just coming together to pray has really been a real big help to us.
I think I'd also like to add, when you talk about prayer being the most important thing for the nucleus, there's a tendency to over-formalize it and just make it something that's sort of like robotic and automatic. It's like, you know, we're always getting together and, okay, it's your turn to pray, now it's my turn to pray, that kind of thing. But your definition of prayer is really important. So prayer is really just a genuine touch of the Lord. Amen. And that's all I really want to say.
What am I supposed to say? Okay. Okay. I don't know. Coordination is really, mysterious to me. I don't really know what it is. I don't know why we call it coordination if we're not, like, supposed to coordinate things. And I think what helped me the most, actually, was, and I'm sure the full-timers don't mind me saying this, but was going to some of the full-timers' coordination. And I just realized nobody knows how to coordinate, you know? because they prayed, and then they would, like, look at each other and toss around ideas, and, like, everyone has their own opinion, so they'd shoot each other down. And then, you know, so it kind of looked like, I'm like, wow, this is really ineffective, you know. So, I don't know, I really appreciated what Bobby said. It's not, you're not there to get things done, because I think if we wanted to get something done, it would be a lot more effective if we did it like a secular job, you know, where you have, like, we all have our assigned tasks. We just, you know, hand things out and everyone does what they're supposed to do. But I mean, I just appreciated that we're, in that sense, we're not getting things done, you know, we're caring for each other humanly. Even I guess that was a big breakthrough for me, is I thought, you know, if you're having a hard time, well, you better, you know, get over it before you get to coordination, because we have to pray for all these new ones. We have to pray for all these things. But even what Joy was saying, it's like, you have to care about each other. I mean, if someone's like having a hard time in their classes, I mean, you kind of have to acknowledge that before you can, you know, go on to other people that you don't even know. So it's been a real big supply for me just to be able to pray for the people that I'm around, and also, you know, to receive prayer. Amen. It's like we're all carrying the same burden.
This is something, you know, we're saying this song, stir up, so you can eventually build up, right? So when does the stirring up, you know, it's not just like all of a sudden the Lord stirs us up, but it's like really, you know, this first topic we're covering in the morning, it's the morning revival time. But how many people struggle with this time? But how do you build up if you don't have this time, or you're not touching the Lord? You know, it's like you have to be with the Lord, but if you're not with the Lord, and then you come together with a group of people to build up. So it's like all of us struggle. And I really appreciated this. It's like we realize it's like when we get together, it's not just we want to take care of other people, but it's like we need to be stirred up. But there's all these frustrations, you know, in our daily life. There's all these things hindering us. And sometimes we want nobody to know about it. I don't want anyone to know that I'm struggling. I haven't had morning revival in 6 months, you know, or I haven't read the Bible in a year. But sometimes we just don't want people to know this. But this is keeping us from being stirred up to build up. And so if we're not stirred up, actually, how can you even care about God's interest? And so a lot of times, even I just noticed this, sometimes it's even amongst the full-timers, sometimes it's hard for us to care, you know, to want to go, even to want to coordinate with other people, because I really don't care. But it's not because, it's just because I haven't spent time with the Lord, right? The Lord is, God is love, right? I like that illustration with the mirror. If you spend time with God, you'll love, because God is love. But you don't spend time with the Lord. But I like this point. It's just, these are the frustrations. But it's like, when we get together, what are we praying for? You know, we're not just, let's jump into it, praying for other people. So this is a good point.
So are you getting the point about coordination? What's the main point? Prayer. Amen. And actually, the stirring up is not even so fireworky necessarily. But it's good if one of the verses in our verse sheet is, let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern. And I don't know what you would project your function into in the church, but for sure, we all can initiate prayer. And when you come together, I want everyone to learn how to initiate prayer. You know, sometimes the brothers are like, they've come to me and been like, give us more to do. We want, you know, what, can I do this and this? And, you know, inwardly, I don't say this to them, but I'm like, I've been with you in 100 little gatherings, and I've never once seen you initiate prayer. I mean, you'll be brought in, but brother, when will you rise up to bring in the prayer? And that's the day you'll be a man. I mean, in a real sense. You know? I mean, I really mean it. It's like, that's the day you've really put on the uniform, because you really started to fight. I don't mind surfing the prayer wave every time it rolls, you know, the tide brings it in. That's, who doesn't like that? But to fight, to rise up, and there's a way to do it that's just so normal. Just like, you're with a group. Oh, Lord. Amen, Lord. Lord. You don't have to say, Lord, we repent of our prayerlessness, and make everyone else feel bad too. Just, you know, just, or, you know what I mean? There's not, you don't need to. You just say, Lord, You don't even need to say, we probably should pray. You know, you don't even need to do that. Just start. Rise up to pray. Then you're really a factor as part of the nucleus. This is not a small thing. The rest of your life in the church and everywhere is the first one to pray. He's really bringing in the blessing. Okay, does anyone else have anything else to add? Okay, good. Good, okay.
When I got approached to like come up here and talk, and the person who asked me, they said, what about frustrations? Like, what are your frustrations? And immediately something came to my mind. And like after all of our talking, like I realized kind of what that frustration came out of, and that was like my human concept that when I came to student coordination, I wanted to see results. Like, and not necessarily that I came to student coordination with this idea of, okay, who's doing this and who's doing this? Like, I knew that we needed to pray, and we did. Every week we came together and we prayed, but it was like, I wanted to see results from those prayers. Like, I was like, okay, Lord, we're bringing you this name week after week. Let's see something. Bring him to Lord's table meeting, like, something. And there was this one freshman that I was really burdened for, and I just, like, when we first started, like, in first semester last year, and I just brought her name, like, every week. And a lot of times, like, we didn't even have that much time to pray, so we would just say, oh, Lord Jesus, and we'd give the Lord the name. But then second semester, she just kind of fell out a little bit, and she got busy, and she, you know, I would invite her every week to home meetings and the college meeting, and she just couldn't come. And I got really discouraged, and I was just frustrated with that. Like, even though we were praying, and it wasn't just like, okay, who's on this girl? Like, who's texting her? Like, we didn't have that attitude, and we were just bringing her name to the Lord, but I just felt really frustrated. Like, why are we not seeing any results? But it's like, we're doing a Bible challenge this summer, and even though, like, last semester she kind of wasn't that involved, she's in the Bible challenge this summer. And I just feel like that's a result of our prayer, even just bringing her name to the Lord every week, like, oh, Lord Jesus. And I just feel like he honored that prayer, and she's doing the Bible challenge, and we still have contact with her. And even though she didn't, you know, jump right into the church life, and she's not going to every meeting, like, she's still there. We're still reading the Bible with her, and I just feel like that came out of our prayer. And praise the Lord. I just think it's awesome.
Really quick, about prayer, I realized that the sweetest prayer is when the people you're praying with are close to you. It's good to know your companions in a human way, you know what they like, know what they don't like, know their personality. However, there is a point where you have to remember that they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. For me, it's been really... The brothers, Drew and Tim, they know that I'm really emotional. I'm like, I'm always talking. But they also realize that there's a time when they're like, Clea, we just need to pray, you know? Or they kind of, we stop my complaining, and then we start praying, or, you know? And I think for a college student, it's really important because sometimes you feel alone on campus. I feel alone all the time. There's a difference when I'm with these brothers and sisters and when we're just friends. There's a difference. But when you're with them and they're your brothers in Christ or they're your sisters in Christ, there's a difference. And when you pray, it is so sweet. And then you want to pray with them even more. So just echoing what everyone's saying, the term coordination is just a word that we're putting on something really weird. To coordinate is just to pray with the people that you love, you know, the people that you love in the body. I love the saints. I love the saints. I love the brothers and sisters. I love the Christ in all of you guys. And I think if we all take that home and back to our campus, the Lord will do so much. He loves us. We love the saints. We love the Lord. We just need to be a little family.
Amen. I'd like to share one more thing. It's about also praying. And it's easy to get discouraged, like praying for some. And that was kind of my experience as well. Like first semester, there was a brother that we were really burdened for, we're praying for. And then second semester, it stops coming. Kind of like Corey was sharing. But so I just kind of stopped praying, kind of went on to the next person on the list. But it's like the Lord, don't forget the prayer that we prayed. And now he's like, he's coming in just out of nowhere. He just came in and he's living at the brother's house now. So it's like, we prayed for him, but then because of our natural concept, we just want to move on. And we do, but the Lord doesn't forget that. And he comes back and honors the prayer.